right. Come on, Cheyenne. Outstanding. There's the church tomorrow. They will be the church tomorrow. And I mean tomorrow. It's coming. All right? Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 27. And when you get there, just keep on going to Proverbs. Amen? Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to read two verses from Proverbs chapter 23. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Proverbs 23 verses 6 and 7. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 6. Proverbs, that one's a little bit tougher. It's not in the very front of the Bible, is it? Got to thumb through a little bit and find Proverbs, don't we? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, something like that. 23, chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. Have you found that tonight? Amen. If you found that, say glory, hallelujah. The Word of God reads this. Jeremiah, I don't know if the monitors are up. That just sounds really hot up here to me. All right. God's Word reads this in Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 6. It says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats." Look at verse 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Everybody say that? So is he. "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this season of revival that we begin. We pray a specific prayer for our evangelist, Larry Jordan. We just pray you begin to anoint him. Lord, give him the direction, give him the words, Lord, that we need to hear as a congregation. And Father God, we pray that our hearts would be prepared to hear. We pray that we would be experiencing revival when the revival meeting begins. Lord, we pray that once the revival meeting is over, that revival continue. Father God, we pray that we fall on our faces, that we experience the anguish of conviction, that we turn away from our evil and wicked ways, and we come back to you in a very substantial and real and applicable way in how we're living. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. As we think about revival, we have about four services, this one plus three more, and it's on us. Larry Jordan will be standing up here. He'll be preaching from God's Word. He'll have his fifth wheel out over here, and they'll be all hooked up and ready to go, and we'll be getting after it, or he'll be getting after it, and we'll be listening to him getting after it. As we think about revival, what I want you to think about is this. Revival seems to occur when God's Word has been preached, or God's power has been manifested. All right, take your Bibles and let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 36. 1 Kings 18, verse 36. You found that tonight? Say amen. All right? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. The Word of God reads this, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at what? At thy word." At thy word. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then notice what happens. "And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Amen? So you see in combination there, God's Word preached and a mighty movement of God. All right? Let's take our Bibles and look just real quickly to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3 is the greatest revival of all human history. has not been topped. I think it will eventually be topped. It hasn't been topped yet. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Let's see here. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. All right? Jonah chapter 3. Have you found that this evening? Amen? Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the what? The second time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. Revival seems to occur when God's word has been preached and or God's power has been manifested to the backslid, to those that are in need of revival. And those needing to be revived seek to be cleansed by God. And what I would say to you tonight is those in 1 Kings, when they said, that's God, they sought cleansing. And we read specifically in Jonah that they sought cleansing. Amen, church? The result of revival is this. It's obedience to God's word. It's a testifying or recounting of what happened in the revival. You see the evangelistic zeal of that. Let me tell you, we had revival at that church. Well, what's revival? Well, I got saved years ago, and I ended up at this church, and I got backslid. I was just kind of going through the motions. But then this evangelist came. We had revival. And people get saved because of it. You see the evangelistic zeal of that. Recounting what happened. Obedience to God's word, the result of it, a testifying or recounting of what happened, and a spiritual strengthening of the people who have genuinely experienced revival. We have a part in the process. You know what our part in the process of revival is? Our part in the process of revival begins in the area of seeking to be cleansed. And what my prayer has been during vacation time, it's really not vacation, just time to rest. What my prayer was is that the conviction of Almighty God fall on this place. That we experience the anguish of our unconfessed sins in such a way that we cannot get away from seeking God's cleansing. I think we need it. Amen? When I think about the history of this church, which I've not been a part of, but just a year and say a half, all the preaching that's been preached here, all the good preaching that's gone on here, all the revivals that have happened to a year for the last 18, 20 years, when I think about that, friends, we all should be further down the road than what we are. We should be on to Bible conferences. We should be on to mission trips, not having two revivals a year. We should have been done, got that, wearing the T-shirt and moving on to something else. I believe you can have revival, amen? I believe God can bring revival to a church, and I believe that's not the end-all to be-all. I believe you have it, and you go on to the next step, church. You go on to the next step. And hopefully we get to that next step, amen? I hope we get there. Cleansing begins with self-analysis. Self-analysis. Oh, man, I don't like the sound of that. I don't either. Now, welcome to the party. Our analysis is going to begin with the mind. Oh, man, are you getting Freudian with me? No, I'm not getting Freudian at all. I'm getting very biblical and spiritual with you. Our analysis is going to begin with the mind because the demonic and our flesh, the good old devil and his demons, have partnered together with our own dead flesh, and they frequently target our minds. The demonic can't read our minds, but they certainly try to put inappropriate things, sinful thoughts in our minds. And we know that when these things come in, they are a test of faithfulness if we turn away from these things, or if we invite these things in and we commit the sin, they're an inducement to sin. We know that. We've covered that. The demonic is probing and looking where he can develop strongholds in our thinking on the landscape of our soul with the goal of leading us. The demonic has a goal, church, of leading us into sin so that we're separated not from our salvation, so that we're separated from God's power. And our flesh is all too accommodating. See, when Jesus came in and our spirit came to life, our flesh lost out. Our flesh doesn't control our destiny any longer. But our flesh sure does like to mess up the works and partner with things it shouldn't be partnering with. When we think about revival, on the other hand, our goal, as those seeking to be cleansed, those seeking to experience revival, is to totally surrender our minds to Christ so that we can experience the fullness of Christ and His power for daily living. The truth of Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7 is that what we think is a huge part of who and what we are. I only got 2 points tonight. We'll try to keep it short, simple, and to the point. Point number one is this. It's a question. Is your mind filled with thoughts of Christ or consumed with earthly issues? Is your mind filled with thoughts of Christ or consumed with earthly issues? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 reads this, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's a great verse to memorize, church. Amen? The question is this, do you think far more about work or recreation or leisure or a hobby? Do you think far more about that than spiritual growth and serving Christ in the local church He's planted you in? Are you plagued with fearful or angry thoughts? Do lustful thoughts, carnal thoughts, frequently occupy your mind? Do you watch programs? You know what I'm talking about. Do you watch programs or movies or other media on the World Wide Web, the interweb? Do you watch that? Do you entertain conversations that stimulate improper thoughts and feelings in your mind? Later this evening, or right now, if you have some privacy, there's not a whole lot of us in here tonight, so you may have enough space around you that you can begin to record some of these things on a piece of paper if you're so inclined. But later this evening or right now, begin to write these things down. Begin to get these things down on paper. Not that you're going to show anybody, but so that it's a guide for you to pray through. Begin to write these things down. And later this evening or right now as we're going through this, you can begin in your heart of hearts to confess these things. In a few moments, we're going to be down here at the altar. Repent of these things and be filled and seek God's forgiveness. Amen? God ain't giving up on nobody here tonight. Amen? God has a love for you that is unshakable. Amen, church? Point number two. That was point number one. Point number two is this. See, a confessed, cleansed, and forgiven mind must be filled with God's Word. How did that revival happen? God's Word! God's Word. 1 Kings? I'm just speaking God's Word. Jonah chapter 3? Word of the Lord came to him a second time. And he went to go tell it. Right? God's Word. Right? God's Word. See, this is what methinks happens this way. Methinks we like the feeling of cleansing And pulling the trigger of repentance, it's kind of a release. We like it. We come down here. We shed a few tears. We get all emotioned up. But we don't take the next step. And the next step is filling the focus. Filling the void. Filling the rut. See, that those old sin patterns are nothing but ruts in the soul. And boy, that preacher comes and he helps us identify them things. And he helps us get the old tire up on the edge of that thing. And we go on down the road pretty straight for about 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 6, maybe 3 months or so. But before too long, that old wheel's back in the rut. And you know what we're looking forward to? Man, when's that next revival coming? And I'm saying, not just one revival and done, but I'm saying, man, we can go a lot further than every 6 months. God's Word is too powerful. The Holy Spirit is too real. Jesus is living inside of us. Amen? I don't know about you, but I like to have Bible conference with a nature of revival, but 2 or 3 speakers. Open it up to a half a dozen churches. I think they do that at MIMS, don't they? MIMS Church? Yeah, a buddy of mine, Steve Brumelow, does that down at his church, Southview, Rose Sharon. The Bible conference. Why? I think their churches have experienced revival. They get to do that now. That's the next step. You know, both these churches, I think, do mission work. I mean, actually go. That's kind of the next step. Amen? A confessed, cleansed, and forgiven mind must be filled with God's Word. Well, you know, I come to church on Sunday morning, Pastor. I mean, I see you on Sunday night. I see you. Must be filled with God's Word. Let me tell you something. If you will decide that when you go through this process, because I believe you're going to go through the process of cleansing, I believe the Word of God is going to be so hot in here during revival that Larry Jordan is going to bring the Word that God has called this man. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He has a King James Version Bible, and he's going to thump the dog. I believe that's going to happen. And I believe the altars are going to fill. I believe there's going to be confession and repentance, right? But we've got to get that mind filled with God's Word. See, it happens like this. If you will decide to fill your mind with God's Word to the point of saturation, what do you mean saturation? Well, man, you're on a daily diet of God's Word. You're coming to Bible study. Sunday morning, getting up an extra hour, you're coming to Bible study. Man, you're actually reading the Scriptures in the church service. But not only that, outside of the church service, you have a daily bread, or you have a devotional book, or you have your Bible open. You spend some time each and every day in the Word of God. And Sunday, you get the full load of it, man. You get saturated with the Word of God to the point, church, that you can begin to memorize the Word of God. Now, Sissy can tell you this. We have kids next door that have great memories. And they memorize Scripture. They have a Scripture. Each month they memorize. Is that correct, Miss Sissy? Each month they have a Scripture. They don't like to do it. Why don't they like to do it? Because most of them are not saturated with the Word of God. They're getting the Word of God through their PACE work, but that's about all the Bible they're getting. Some of them are going to different churches. Some of them are coming to this church. But friends, we are adults. We have a maturity about us. We have a desire for the things of God. Or we should have that desire. Amen? We can saturate ourselves with the Word of God to the point that we memorize the Word of God. And then, boy, you know what happens? Then we can meditate on the Word of God. You mean like the monks and you're getting all Freudian again? No, I'm not. That's biblical stuff. You know, when you're having a rough day, you can actually, when you're saturated and you've memorized and you're having a rough day, you, with the Holy Spirit's help, can pull a verse up out of your memory and think about it and be comforted. Amen? When somebody you work with or in your home or your marriage or whatever is going through a difficult time, boom, there's a verse. You can bring it up and discuss it. That's meditation. Being what? Filled with the Word of God to saturation so that we can have memorization, so that we can have meditation. When we do that, that's what the Bible is talking about when it says a renewed mind. It's not going to be renewed on Dr. Phil. It's not going to be renewed on this or that. It's only going to be renewed on the inerrant Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this old dying world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. That's how your mind is going to be renewed. And it says, and ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the good news. That's the good news. The uh-oh news is this. Let me get a drink. The uh-oh news. There's always an uh-oh. Uh-oh. If you will come down, starting tonight, the next three services after this one, during the revival, and you get down here and begin to confess, you start the process of confession, you start the process of repentance in your life, and you do that, and you just do the release part, the feel good, man, whoo, I'm cleansed. God forgives. He does forgive, amen? God's grace, He's going to forgive you. Whoo! But you don't do what I'm talking about. You don't get God's Word in there. You don't cover that rut in. You don't fill it in. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. If you will not fill your mind with God's Word to the point of saturation, to the point of memorization, to the point of meditation, then you will stay in the same old rut. You're going to stay in the same old rut. And I know what you're thinking. What do you mean by rut? Has nobody ever been in a rut before? Am I the only one? I've been in ruts on motorcycles and fallen off of them. I've been in the ruts on bicycles and fallen off the bicycle only to get back and get back in the rut, right? I've been in double ruts, in cars, in snow, and have torn cars up and wheels up because of the ruts. I've seen planes try to taxi in them. It's crazy. Ruts. Let's think about what does the rut look like in the spiritual, backslidden, confessed, repenting Christian that just won't fill in the rut. What does the rut look like? Just three things tonight, and we'll cover some more of it Sunday morning. What does the rut look like? Your affections and priorities will revolve around people and things more than Jesus. Oh, you'll have this catharsis experience down here, but it won't be but a few weeks, a month, 2 months, that your affections and priorities will revolve back around people and things more than Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen? And your affections will be right back on the earth. You will continue to get more excited about work, about sports, about recreation, about leisure, about clubs, about this, about that, than about God's kingdom. Now, Jesus will occupy, He'll still occupy a part of you, but you know where you'll have Jesus? You'll have Jesus over here. You'll have Jesus right over here. This is my Jesus. I got Him over here in the corner. Now, when I go to church Sunday, I'm gonna bring Him out. Come on, Jesus. No. I'm going to sing. Jeremiah's going to lead. Pastor Steve's going to spit and preach and get all red-faced. Okay, that's over. All right. Come on, Jesus. Put Him back over here in the corner. Jesus looking good. Perfect Son of God. All right. I'm moving on with my life. Right? Well, that's what we do. That's what we do. You'll continue to get more excited about work. Jesus will occupy only a small corner of your thoughts and your plans. Oh, He's in there. You're saved. Heaven bound. He's in there. But He's off over here in the corner, right? Number two, what does that rut look like, Pastor Lee? Number one, your affections and priorities will revolve around people and things more than Jesus. Number two, you will seek God more for what He can do for you than out of a genuine love for Him. Oh, you will seek God more for what He can do for you than out of a genuine love for Him. This is none other. This is none other than an impure motive. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Your thoughts are mixed with selfish desires rather than seeking God's glory. Your desire to be noted and praised by people rather than mainly seeking God's pleasure. You will not pray for God's will when it does not fit your plan. Your love and worship decrease when things do not go your way. When you get disappointed, you cool off towards God in church. That's a rut, isn't it? Amen? And then number three. What's rut look like? Number three. You will continue to offer insincere worship. Oh, you'll worship. You'll worship, but it's insincere. You'll come and praise, but the praise is nothing but empty ritual. But I'm saved, Pastor. I mean, come on. Yeah. Insincere worship and empty ritual. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 23 is a little more straightforward than that. It says this. God's word reads this. It says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Verse 23 says, take thou away from me the noise of thy song. Just shut up. Quit singing that, God's word says. For I will not hear the melody of thy violins. Talk about violins, little stringed instruments. The very essence of worship, church, is to bow before God in genuine reverence and surrender. Now, hey, I'm the last guy that wants to take away, nor will I take away. It's part of you, your DNA, your welcome time, your meet and greet. Boy, yeah, they just love that. I'm loved at the fact you love it. But let me tell you, sometimes when I'm sitting up here looking down there, it could be a swap meet somewhere. It could be some kind of club other than a church. I'm thinking, okay, is this why people are here? And then when the dear brother gets up here to sing, whoever it may be, I mean, it's when I'm sitting up here looking out there and observing, just watching. And why are you up there observing, by the way? Trying to do due diligence, man. I'm getting ready to preach God's word to people. I want to see their faces. Who am I preaching to? Is there somebody I can pray for before I get up and preach? Do I see a lost person in the audience? Is there someone out there struggling? So I'm sitting up here trying to do due diligence, see? But when that welcome time pops, it's like somebody has gone somewhere and flipped a 300-amp breaker in this place. Ting! I mean, this place lights up! And then when this dear brother's up here singing his heart out, people are about half speed, like somebody took that 300-amp breaker, knocked it down, and flipped on about a 40-amper. People just kind of going through the old motion. You know, you think it would be the opposite of that. You think it would be the opposite of that. You think people would come to church to get their praise on, to get their worship on, amen? The house of the living God, Salvation City. You are heaven bound. Amen? Some of you closer to heaven than some. Amen? We're all heaven bound, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you would think, I mean, worship is not a destination. Worship is an activity. It's an activity. We ought to be blessed to be a part of it. The very essence of worship is to bow before God in genuine reverence and surrender. The unrenewed mind, the unrenewed saved Christian, the unrenewed mind of the stuck in the rut Christian has forgotten, he's forgotten it, or he has never learned the awesome holiness and majesty of our Creator. Friend, when you see Jesus one day, they will not tell you this is your cue to bow. Friend, you'll be down on the ground. You'll be down there. You'll be down there. You won't look for a piece of tape on the floor. You'll be on it. Is this where I stand? Boom. To those in the rut, God exists mostly to fulfill our desires and our needs. You know, I need to go to church. I need to see so-and-so today. You know, I need to go to church. I just need to hear the songs. You know, I need to go to church. I need to get this scratch itched or that scratch itched. How about I need to go to church because the God of the universe who created me for fellowship and relationship has sent His Son to die on the cross for me and has convicted me with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and He saved me. And that's why I'm going to church. To pour my heart out in praise and worship and adoration. I didn't preach Sunday. I'm just trying to catch up. Amen? All right? If you confess this evening, if you begin your confession this evening or in the next coming weeks to shallow reverence to God, then friend, once He takes that and He showers you with that gracious forgiveness once again, would you please fill in the void of the rut? Would you fill it in with God's Word? Would you backfill it in with the Word of God? Would you allow your life to be strengthened? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. Is holiness your top pursuit? Matthew chapter 6, 33. The first one was Hebrews 12, 14. Is holiness your top pursuit? My prayer is God convict us powerfully. That He convict us powerfully. That the spirit of conviction in here would be something we really can't explain or describe, but we know that it's just incredible. The spirit of conviction. I pray that God convict powerfully so that you can be cleansed graciously, so you can be filled with a hunger for holiness. Amen. Brother Jeremiah is going to start some instrumental music for us. And the altar is open. I want to invite you to come. We'll conclude the service right down here. As you come, you think about what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what you need to begin to clean out and clear out. You begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to give you direction in your prayer life, to give you direction in how to record this stuff. And then, friend, take it sin by sin, issue by issue, and begin to confess this stuff out. Get it out. Come on, join us down here in the altar. Join us down here in the altar. We'll take a few moments. We'll be done.